Father, have mercy upon us. Let your grace abound. Change us. Oh, change us. Change us that we may meet you. Change us. We repent, Master, for every word, thought, and deed, works out of flesh, entanglements and affairs of this world. We repent for rebellion. Lord, we repent for every area where we've offended you. Wash us tonight with the blood. Purge us with your presence. Loose us from the bonds of deception and bondage. And let the anointing and the power and the glory of your presence and your love break every yoke as your word goes forth to each and every one in this room, that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole. Let the fullness of Christ be manifest and established in them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Discernment, strength, and boldness to go forward and never to look back. Oh, Master, Master, come, Holy Spirit, come, bring us to that place you want us, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive, break every hardened heart, remove every scale, and every deaf and dumb spirit that would attach itself to your people. I rebuke those spirits and command them to loose the people of God and go to the pit in the name of Jesus. Let us see the cloud that leads us, Master. Let us see the fire, the pillar of fire, and the cloud of glory to lead us. Lead us, Master. Lead us as we surrender all to you. So we call on the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us and show us great and mighty things. As we celebrate your victory in disarming the powers of darkness, that we may walk in freedom. Knowing that your word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us shall be condemned. We thank you. We honor you. We exalt you. We look to you, Father, and we thank you so, so much, so much. Teach us tonight, Father. Holy Spirit, tell us things to come. Prepare us. Show us that we may be better servants and stewards, better witnesses, that we may be the extension of your hand and your love and your power. To rescue those who have been taken captive by deception and by the enemy. Jesus, let your will be done and your kingdom manifest in us and through us for your glory tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give them glory. Glory. You know, we were talking about the wilderness and about how the whole world is brought into the wilderness. And one of the things that God is doing is purifying the hearts. If you remember the last time the Spirit gave us a word. Well, after the word was given, Angel came up to me and shared with me a dream he had. So come on up here, Angel. And I want him to share what the Lord showed him, because he came up to me after the service and said, man, I got to tell you this dream. He said, it was about 4 a.m. Here, go ahead.
It was about 4 a.m. I woke my wife up and I explained to her that in the dream, there was somebody next to me and said, I'm searching everybody's hearts. So he came back to me and said, I'm going up. And when he went up, apparently he spoke to the Lord and told him, listen, this is enough. I've already searched everybody's heart. It's time for us to leave. And I woke up, you know, I explained to my wife, and that was it, you know. But, I mean, I heard this voice talking to me. You know what I mean? I heard this voice, you know, and I just stood in shock, you know. And he just said, I've searched everybody's heart. That's enough. We're ready to go home. You know, and he said it in more words. I just can't remember everything because I was just in shock. But I was shocked when the pastor was, when he was talking about the wilderness and searching everybody's heart. And I just couldn't, I mean, it's just confirmation, you know, of what's going on. And time is short. So we better, you know, including myself, we better
tighten up.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So after that teaching, when angel came up to me and shared with that, you know, sometimes God is just, he confirms everything on what's happening. I mean, you know, so the spirit goes to the Father and says, I've searched their hearts. It's time. It's time. And it is time. And we are in the wilderness. The whole world is in the wilderness right now. And we'll stay in the wilderness. And there'll be two events that happen in the wilderness. The first event that will happen in the wilderness will be the rapture. The second event will be the wrath. We will stay in the wilderness until it's time to go home. The whole world is in the wilderness. Does everybody understand that? But there's victory in the wilderness. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Grab your Bibles, please. Your swords. And turn to Luke 4. Victory in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And Luke 4, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Then Jesus, being filled with the what? Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, this is, he's talking, now you got to understand and how God speaks in this. Now, he's not only talking about Jesus. If Jesus is ahead and we're his body, who else goes in the wilderness? Amen. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Now, I want you to understand something, that this bread represents the lust of the flesh. But there's something else that what's happening here. He's saying, man shall live by, it is written, every word of God. So here he's saying, listen, there is the lust of the flesh that hinders us, but it's the word of God that's going to overcome it. So there are certain things that he's saying, what's happening, and the devil is trying to tempt the Lord, but God was responding to the first one. He was saying, word. So he was telling us how to have victory in the wilderness. How you understand it? Okay. And then it says, and then the devil took him, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, what did he do? He showed him what? All the kingdom. How did he see it? Through his eyes, right? So it's called lust of the eye, isn't it? And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will what? Worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So we see here that was lust of the eye, and how we overcoming that? Worship. So he gives us the three areas of victory in the wilderness. And then he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Now the devil begins to use the word. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Why? Because he was using the word. Do you understand that? So the devil was trying to use the word against the Lord to promote pride. And this is an area where we must maintain humbleness. We must humble ourselves. Has everybody got it? That's where we deny ourselves, isn't it? So there's an area where we must maintain an arena of being humble. And there's a lot of areas of what humble is. Submissive. Are you listening? Submissive, surrender. All of this is associated with humble. So he says, listen, you must use the word, you must worship, and you must maintain an arena of humbleness. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? Another opportune time. Then Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, I want you to understand something. So the devil is not done, is he? So in the wilderness, he's not done. So you had the first victory. That doesn't mean you've got the second one. So there's areas that we must maintain. The word, speaking the word, worship, and maintaining a humble spirit. Then what it says, and then Jesus returned in the power. Well, I'm telling you, we're going to return in the power. But that will be the rapture. That will be the removal of the church. We will not leave the wilderness until the Lord comes to get us. So we know that the devil and the powers of darkness are in the wilderness, aren't they? We know that we'll be tempted in the wilderness. Now, not only is the body of Christ in the wilderness, but the whole world is in the wilderness. Everybody is in the wilderness. Nobody comes out of the wilderness. There's only two results in the wilderness now. Two events. Are you listening? It'll be the rapture of the church and the wrath of God. Then we will return with the Feast of Atonement. Is everybody okay? But there's something that happens here. The devil quotes Psalm 91, doesn't he? Now go to Psalm 91. Because it's actually the psalm of the wilderness. When the Jews were in the wilderness, did they not build a tabernacle? Psalm 91, would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver, I like to say me, deliver me from the snare of the fowler or the enemy and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Does everybody see this now? This is a prayer of the wilderness. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Why is the reward going to be of the wicked? Because we will be removed, and what's going to happen in the wilderness? The wrath of God. Because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me, to keep me in all of his ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpents I will trample underfoot. They are in the wilderness. You know, these are demonic forces, aren't they? Because I have set his love, my love upon him, therefore he will deliver me. He will set me on high because I have known his name. He will be with me in time of trouble, and he will deliver me and honor me with long life. He will satisfy me and show me his salvation. And where is that salvation? In the wilderness. Do you understand? This is a psalm of the wilderness. Even the devil didn't even know it. But that was a psalm that was given in the wilderness. It was given by who? The devil. But God is, that's why he said, you're not going to tempt, don't tempt the Lord your God by using that word. That's for my people in the wilderness, not you. Has everybody got this? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we know that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, right? We know the Israelites were in the wilderness 40 years. But I just want you to see the comparison of what's happening. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. So we have victory in the wilderness through word, speaking the word, decreeing, worship, right? And maintaining a humble spirit. Of course, by doing those things, you're going to maintain the anointing, aren't you? In Matthew 24, in verse 3. Now Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and when will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age. And I want you to know that Jesus begins to explain to them what's going on at the Mount of Olives, but he'll also return to the Mount of Olives with us. That's called cycle. See, God uses cycles. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but I'm telling you, everything's been established. And he's already shown us what's coming. And Jesus, now, the other thing is he says, what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The end of the age means the end of grace. It's called the age of grace. That means there's no more grace. The end of the age means the end of the age of grace. The age of grace ends in the wilderness with the rapture. Is everybody okay? So the body of Christ will be removed from the earth, which holds back the powers of darkness. All hell will break out in the wrath of God. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. Now, we talked about first strike. What's the first strike we're supposed to go after? Deception. It's the first thing that he talks about. He says, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening? Yes. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That's representation of ethnic. And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. More than ever, all these are the beginning of sorrows. I want you to understand something, that this means wilderness. That means we've entered wilderness. Then they would deliver you up to what? Tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound and love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. So we got to look at something very powerful here. Because in the wilderness, this is what he talks about. It's called the birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows, which is wilderness time. And that's where we are right now. So we know that in this, tribulation is going to come. And then great tribulation. Does everybody see this? Okay, I'm going to go a little further so we get a little more understanding. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, he's talking about where Satan himself declares himself as God in the temple. And that will happen in mid-tribulation. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were what? Shortened. Remember, we were told already that the Lord began to shorten the days. No flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So you understand that the days are being shortened. We are in the wilderness. Then if anyone says, you look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is where? In the desert. Do not go out or look. He is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Hallelujah. You know that we're known as eagles too. So see, we'll be gathered together to be removed. Do you understand that? But the first strike that we talked about is the attack on deception. Amen? So I want you to get this, because we have victory in the wilderness. And I want to share a couple more things on the areas where we must strike. We must be first strikers. But there's three things he speaks about that are very important. And that is the word, the worship, and maintaining a humble spirit. That's submissive, obedient, disciplined. So your first strike is against deception, isn't it? Has everybody got it? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility, humbleness. For God, what? Resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How many of y'all know that you're going to need grace in the wilderness? Why? Because grace is the plan of what? Escape. But he says he what? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, and that is in the wilderness. So the next, I'm sharing with you, this is important. Our first strike is deception, our second strike is pride. Pride. Why? Because we need grace, man. We need the plan of escape. Go to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Welcome to the desert. How many of y'all know you have storms in the desert? We'll talk about that later. Deuteronomy 8. Start at verse 1. Moses speaks to his people. And he says, every commandment which I commanded you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live in what? Multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to what? Humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you shall eat bread without scarcity, in which you shall lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And he says, and when you have eaten and are full, then you will shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So we understand here that he brings us into the wilderness to change us. Do you understand that? He is changing our hearts, but he is changing us to meet him. So here's an area where we must trust him. We must be willing to be chastened and corrected. It's a place where we must learn to walk in his ways and fear or reverence him in every area. That's why the Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he'll establish your steps. Commit to him your works and he'll establish your thoughts. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 43. And in verse 14, Isaiah 43. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path to the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall bring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the what? Wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, we're in the wilderness, in the desert right now, because he's doing a new thing. It's an end time event. The rivers and the waters are talking about revival. Has everybody got it? What's it talking about? Revival. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Who do you think that is? Us. Glory. Does everybody see that? Now he talks about Babylon. Now I want you to understand that Babylon was like the Roman Empire also. Or you might even, and something similar was during the Egyptian rule. Because when the Israelites went into the wilderness, who was at rule then? Egypt. During the wilderness times. And it says that God will do a new thing and bring revival. And he's going to begin to do something very important. He's going to begin to expose things. New things there's always exposure when there's new things. And in this revival, one of the things that it's going to expose is many religious spirits. And in this, that must be the third thing that we can constantly strike as religious spirits and come against them. Does everybody understand this? Why? Because these religious spirits, they hold on to what God did while they resist what God is doing. Hello? They hold on to what God did, but they resist what God is doing. They're not willing to step in. They're still holding on to the old. But God is doing a new thing. In the wilderness, what he's going to do, he's going to change your wineskin so you can get new wine. Everything's going to be stripped and reestablished with his character, image, and likeness. Anything that you put your trust in will be removed. We will be stripped naked during this period of time so we can be dressed with him. Does everybody understand it? You're either in or out. You'll either live and survive and be victorious in the wilderness, or you'll die there. Hello? One of the things he's doing is exposing these religious spirits because they were brought up in the areas where as they began to rely on what God did instead of and missing what God is doing, in that they were more of men pleasers instead of God pleasers. They fell backwards and began to fall into the traditions of men, where Jesus said to them, you nullify the commandments by your traditions of men. In other words, you're doing your own thing by being men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Go to 1 Samuel 15. Well, I don't know if I like this. Well, you got no choice, brother. You'll either submit and die or die. First Samuel 15. And verse 17. And Samuel begins to rebuke King Saul. And he says to him in verse 17, he said, when you were little in your own eyes, in other words, when you were humble, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said the same to you, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. And I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder and sheep and oxen and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now I want you to understand there's something that he blew right there. Because he told Samuel it was your God. Does everybody get it? He didn't say our God. He said your God. So Saul already separated himself. He already got caught up in pride. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the what? Word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, that was the first thing in the wilderness that would bring us victory, isn't it? The what? Word of God. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I what? Feared the people and obeyed their voice. He became a man-pleaser instead of a God-pleaser. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Wow. See, he rejected the word. That was, Saul was associated in the area as a religious spirit, but there's something that we've got to constantly come against, and that is a rebellious spirit. That's the fourth attack we want to always bring. We want to come against the what? Rebellious spirit. Why? Because it's a sin of witchcraft. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. Rebellious. Was Judas rebellious? Yes, and what did he do? He betrayed Jesus, didn't he? Betrayal. It's a fruit of rebellious spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. How many of y'all want victory in the wilderness? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done such a thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, what? Purge out the old leaven. The word leaven means evil. That you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and what? Truth. So God is going to begin to purge us. He's going to purge us from evil. And that is the evil of pride and lust. He's going to be purging us out of these areas during this period of time in the wilderness. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a blemish-free bride, isn't he? Are we not known as the bride of Christ? So he will purge us in the wilderness from all leaven. In 1 John chapter 2, he's going to squeeze it. You know that coal is squeezed. When coal is squeezed in pressure, it turns into a diamond. And it's clear. Do you know that when gold, pure gold, is actually, when it's transparent. Especially when it's heated up. It's truly, pure gold is transparent when it's heated up. And as it hardens more, it begins to form its color. That's why God always pressure cooks us. So that we can be transparent and so that he can shine through us and not us. In verse 15. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, Antichrist means coming against Christ, the move of the Spirit. A religious spirit is an Antichrist spirit also. Why? Because it comes against the move of the Spirit. Do you understand that? But there are many individuals who are now Antichrist in the area where the Antichrist has taken them over, where they are coming against Christianity, where they are coming against the Jew. Now they're coming against anything that has to do with anything of God. Is everybody okay? And it says, and even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. We all know that it's the last hour. And it says, and they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now let me share something with you. Just because an individual says that Jesus is the Christ, but they're not following him, is denying him. Has everybody got that? Denying him. Now listen, Saul, who became prideful, right? He began to do it his way instead of God's way. So he began to deny the Lord. Do you understand it? In other words, any time that you put your opinion above the word of God, you are denying him. And it says, whoever is a liar, who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So we see this as powerful because the 15th thing we really need to attack, all right, is lust. Lust and the Antichrist spirit. And I want to put those together. Lust and the Antichrist spirit. I'm going to share something with you that is important during this wilderness time. We must be able to discern and pursue. What do you mean by that? Well, we must be able to discern and pursue our enemy to overtake him. You don't want to wait to be attacked. You want to attack first in the wilderness. This is how victory is going to be maintained. You want to be a first striker. You don't wait to get attacked. That's plumb dumb. Then you got to lick your wounds. Then you got to get healed and you got to recover from the attack. Why not attack first? Then you don't have to recover. They can spend the time recovering, the demonic forces. And James chapter 5. Although they ain't gonna. If you keep attacking them, they don't get an opportunity to recover. In James 5 and verse 7. So one of the things we want to do is be able to discern and pursue. Would you all say that with me? Discern and pursue. Yeah. Verse 7, read it with me. It says, be what? Patient. Ooh. Brethren, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. One of the areas of patience is a representation of endurance, but also what will move you out of that position is being anxious. See, the devil attacks you with anxiousness and fear. And that's the sixth thing we want to attack, is anxiousness and fear. That's the I want syndrome. I got it. That's not, you got it. It should be the I die. Not that I got it, or I want. We want to come against the spirit of anxiousness and fear. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but what? Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved. So he's perfecting his love in us so that we can overcome. Where his love is being perfected, he's going to return for his love in us. Go to Philippians 3. Am I moving too fast? Good. I'm not anxious. Philippians 3. I'm excited. Welcome to the desert. There's no but ministry in a desert. But. Nah. You'll get taken out by the butt vultures. They feed on butts. They hear you say but, they're there. Knocking at your door, trying to get in to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, but. No. Now you got two loads. No butt ministry in the wilderness. We're the head, not the tail. Amen? We already have the victory. We now just got to flow in it. In Philippians 3 and verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of what? Dogs. Remember we talked about a dog. Individuals used by demons. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ, or for the anointing. Hello. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain the anointing. So some of you may be going, man, you know, I mean, I've gone through all kinds of stuff. I'm losing this. Praise God. Count it all loss for the anointing. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and having reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You must move forward in the wilderness. Do you understand this? You must move forward in the wilderness. You do not go back. You do not go back and try to rescue. You do not go back. You go forward. Nobody goes back in the wilderness. The Lord took the Israelites. They did not go back, did they? They kept going forward. They followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They kept going forward no matter what. You do not go back and try to fix things. If you'll go forward, God will fix it. If you go try and fix it, you'll get caught up and you'll miss. And you may miss the removal. I'm telling you, it is narrow and difficult. We are in the wilderness. Tribulation is around the corner, and great tribulation is also coming. You cannot go back and try and fix. If you do, you'll miss God. You must go forward in everything. Is everybody okay? I press forward, verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following me, my example. Note those who walk as you have for a pattern, those that have a pure heart. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. We must press forward. Follow those who carry a pure heart and exposing the enemy of the cross. Are you listening? I'm telling you, it is serious time right now. We are in the wilderness. And I'm going to share with you a couple other things that's going to blow your mind of where we're at. Go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 29. Would you read it with me? Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Y'all know when he's speaking in the house of Israel, he's speaking to the body of Christ. Okay. Therefore I will judge you, O body of Christ. Everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? New heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and what? Live. So in the wilderness, God is changing us to meet him. Do you understand that? Those of us who are alive during this time, he is changing us to meet him. And we will meet him because he's coming for us soon. Is everybody okay? Now remember I share with you that we are in the wilderness, and during this wilderness times, Egypt was in rule. So Pharaoh was in rule, wasn't he? And I want to share a couple things about Pharaoh, because this is another spirit we need to come against. And it's the seventh spirit I'm going to talk about tonight. But I want to share with you Pharaoh. Now if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And verse 14. Now Abram is also known as Abraham. But here his name wasn't changed yet. But he was known as Abram. And in verse 14, is everybody there? Genesis 12, 14. And so it was when Abram came into where? Egypt. Now Egypt represents world. Worldly. Now the Egyptians were, like I said, it was like one world order there. That the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" Now you got to understand, Abram now represents Christ, and his wife represents the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us that plagues would come, won't they? But see, because of Pharaoh, he could not understand, he could not see the body of Christ, the bride. He can't see those things. You understand? Because he's blinded. Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. Eventually, the body of Christ will be released. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So the Lord plagued, didn't he, Pharaoh, to release his bride. Does everybody understand that? Now, this was a prophecy of what was going to happen with Moses, isn't it? See, God always does things first before, in other words, he speaks things and things begin to happen before. It's got to be prophesied in before it happens. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Now, go to Genesis 41 and verse 25. Now, we know that Joseph was sold in slavery, wasn't he? And he had to go through the wilderness for a while to get to position. And Joseph, in verse 25, it says, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, because he was brought before him, because he could interpret dreams. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. In verse 26, the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years. And the empty heads, bleated by the east wind, are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. Now I want you to understand something, that this country has had many years of plenty. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. We are in famine right now. And there'll be a sense of false prosperity. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And a dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. Now I want you to understand that. Even in this country right now, even though that they're going to raise taxes, one of the things that's going to happen is they're going to be removing things that you'll be able to write off on taxes. So they may have a form of not increasing taxes so much, but they're going to remove things that you can't write off anymore. So actually they're collecting more taxes. So everybody got it. That's the poor part of the deception we're in. Is everybody okay? Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers, okay? And let gather all of food, those good, in verse 35, those good years that are coming, store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Now we know that much is being distributed right now in this country, all kinds of funds, but the purpose of that is actually to maintain control. Is everybody okay? Now, why am I saying this? Because Obama is in the spirit of Pharaoh. So let's just get this straight right now. Obama is in the spirit of Pharaoh. Now, it's pretty wild, because I was sharing some of this with Wade today, and he looked up on the internet. And he said, and he turns to me and he says, "You're not going to believe this." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, he was a minister of Israel, called Obama Pharaoh. On Sunday, he said he called him Pharaoh. He said he was Pharaoh on Sunday. Now, I didn't know that until Wade just pulled it up on the computer, on the internet. So what did God do? He gives us confirmation. I want you to understand where we're at right now. Because the country is going to be sold out, and it is sold out. And we must understand it. We must come against the spirit of Pharaoh, which is the seventh thing. But we are not apart. Do you understand? We are separated and sanctified unto the Lord. Even though everyone is in the wilderness, where we're at right now, things are going to begin to happen. You're going to see in 2010 the manifestation of what's being decided in 2009. We are in the wilderness. And this country is under the rule of Pharaoh. Is everybody okay? Exodus 14. And we'll close here. Exodus 14. Is everybody there? Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled in the heart of Pharaoh, and his servants were turned against the people. And now you got to remember, this was right after Pharaoh let them go. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Phi-Hephrath and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Because there is no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? Many during the wilderness will want to turn back." Many. The Bible tells us in the latter days, many will fall from the faith. "For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold on your peace." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Go what? Forward. "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who went out before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood between them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one. And it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all the night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind on that night, and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. I think that's cool. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." These guys, somebody stole their hubcaps. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh. They came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And this is where we're at right now. This is what's happening. We want to be prepared. Everybody in the body of Christ can be victorious in the wilderness in preparation for the return of the Lord. He's already given us the victory. We just must follow the plan in every area. Do not go back. Do not go back. Stop trying to fix your life and let God fix it. Quit trying to fight for your life and fight for the life of Christ. There's a difference. The Lord must build the house. The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Again, He's already given us a victory. He's already given us the plan. We must just follow it. Understand where we're at. We'll talk more about this later. And again, there are storms in the desert, aren't there? And we'll talk more about those. We'll talk more about this country and what's happening. But remember that right now this country is under the rule of Pharaoh. And you will be persecuted in certain areas. We already know that prayer, the Ten Commandments, are being removed from this country. One of the things that Pharaoh did was he was killing the firstborn. He was promoting abortion. This Pharaoh that we have in office now is promoting abortion. Not only is he promoting abortion in this country, but is financing the abortion in other countries. I'm talking about the spirit of Pharaoh. Does everybody understand that? Taking control over the financial arena. That's called banks. The whole purpose of everything is so that this country's financial system would collapse so that Pharaoh would have control and then negotiate for global union. Everything is falling into place. We are in the wilderness. We are in the beginning of sorrows. Tribulation is around the corner, and so is the rapture, the removal of the body of Christ. It's an important time right now. It's an honor and blessing to be alive. It's an honor and blessing. We must carry the truth, decree the truth, and be ready in season and out, keeping yourself denied. You cannot deny the signs and what's going on right now. This country has never been so divided in all history, except for when there was a war against the North and the South. We are there again. There is a war in this country. And it's against the godly and the ungodly. I was watching the news the other day and I saw a gentleman. What's his name, Beck? Glenn Beck. And man, I saw that man's heart crying out to the world. Crying out to this country and saying, wake up, people. This country is blinded. They are deceived. Remember we talked about that the greatest deception is on this planet that's ever been. That's why the Lord had to shorten time. And He's losing some of His children. But revival is right around the corner. He will bring the rivers, and He will bring the drink to His people in a revival while we're in the wilderness to do many, many rescuing of souls. Many rescue those who are deceived and those who are lost. But many will turn away and want to go back to Egypt. They'll be stubborn, unsubmissive, rebellious, and hold on to their life instead of giving their life. And they will die in the wilderness. But God is preparing our exodus. So I encourage each and every one of you, stand fast. Don't let go. Don't go back. Go forward. Fight. Become a first striker in every area of your life. Don't take no garbage from no devil. And let not fear overtake you. He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. We are there. Let no mistake come upon you in deception. We are there. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Master. Our hope is in you, our strength is in you, and our life is in you. We are nothing without you. We have tried and we have failed. We thank you for your word tonight, and let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us and change us for your coming. We give you all the glory and we thank you, Master. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And in the presence of the Lord God Almighty is the fullness of joy. May the Lord bless you, keep you, visit you, and establish you, and prepare you for his coming in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.